and welcome to podcast 327 of Five Star Potential, your weekly Football Manager podcast. I'm Dupe, and on this week's pod, I'm joined by Joe, aka Friday Night FM, Paul, aka Mad FM, and Dave, aka the Russian Scout. Gentlemen, another week, another podcast, another 7 days of playing Football Manager. How have we been? We all well?
Good. At the time of recording this, mate, it's been 2 weeks since we last recorded a podcast.
True. Yeah, I was going to ad-lib then, but whenever I ad-lib on the script, it doesn't really go too well.
We don't ad-lib anymore.
Why is he Russian?
I just want to give you a little fist bump there.
Why is he Russian Scout? Any context on the Russian Scout thing? I think we need to share a story.
Yeah, we can dive upon this. However, I will say somebody left a comment on our, I think it's on our Spotify or on the Anchor, saying that people don't like context. People don't want to know. Just get on with the pod. I don't want to know what Dave's been up to this week. But Dave, tell us what you've been up to this week, mate.
The Russian Scout thing again is, was that a week ago? Yeah, that was a week ago.
About a week ago.
It's probably 2 weeks ago, mate.
Yeah, it was.
I can't remember. Yeah, I pulled some Russian bird, but she didn't ever follow me back on Instagram, so it's over. It's already over, mate.
She had bigger feet than you, so don't panic, Dave. She was she had a head the size of a fucking centre back, so you'll be fine. Get her playing back four, son. You'll be all right. Right, on this week's pod, Joe and Maddles will be telling us all about their long-awaited saves with Famalicão and AEK, which will be covered building a backroom staff, analysing scouts, squads, and those first tactic ideas. We'll also be travelling somewhere for our adventures in Wonderkid Land, and Dave will do the quiz. But before we get there, let's go for our winners of the week. David, in Russian, who's your winner of the week?
My winner of the week is actually going to be the Pentagon Challenge.
Ooh, okay. Starts in Russia.
That's the winner of the upcoming week. Yeah, may or may not start in Russia or go to Russia at some point. Yeah, obviously I'll talk about the wall save shortly, but that is over for now, or at least on Twitch. So the winner of the week upcoming is going to be the Pentagon Challenge. So yeah, looking forward to it. I've actually been really looking forward to it. So got the wall save done. And we can crack on this week.
No more Messi.
Someone has recently done a Pentagon Challenge. I'm excited for you, mate. I'm really excited for you. Yeah, I did one in the Goat Challenge. I did a proper one. Mate, I didn't cheat, and I streamed it all. But that's fine. Brilliant. You do you.
Yeah, Joe. Well.
Joe, who's your winner of the week?
Well, 7 days ago, I've written the match team. I can't remember why I put it in it, but I'm only going to say it's quite enjoyable to play games in this match engine. That's all I can think. I absolutely smashed through probably about 20 games in a day and just enjoyed seeing different animations, different things happening, centre-backs doing bicycle kicks. I'm just going to give a shout-out to the match team, really, because I've enjoyed watching it, although I have seen some absolute howlers this week of some own goals.
I was going to say, I've seen some awful goalkeepers shooting from like their own box and it just bouncing over the other team's goalkeeper. And then the goalkeeper running the length of the pitch to celebrate in front of the fans, which I thought was awesome. The shit houseery there is off the charts.
I had a goal ruled out that my fella took a shot and it hit the bar, come down, hit the keeper and gone in. I can't remember why it was ruled out. Was the offside? Anyway.
Offside.
But that looked a bit embarrassing for the keeper anyway.
Definitely did. there might be a chance soon, Joe. There is talks behind the scenes, so you might be able to thank them personally. So, we might even get one on the pod soon. So we'll see. Mad, tell us your winner. Well, don't go too much over the top, mate. It's only Swedish.
I don't speak Swedish the way Dave speaks Russian, apparently. But my winner of the week is Ike Football in Sweden, because season one of the new save, and without going into too much spoilers, Dupe, we won the league. Happy days.
It's not really spoilers though, mate, when you streamed it.
Yeah, you put it out on Twitter.
Dupe doesn't watch my streams, so it's all news to him. And he's blocked me on Twitter, as we've learned.
I'm very impressed. I am actually very impressed, and we'll get up on that when we talk about your save update, but consider me impressed. And as I'm talking about being impressed, I am going to tell you all about my win of the week, which is Saudi Arabia. This is still relevant from 7 days ago. I've got to be honest, it's really made my save enjoyable, and we'll touch on a little bit more. But I did tweet it out. I think we got offered, or I negotiated, over £210 million for Bruno Fernandes, which is quite a lot. I think 195 of that was up front. And actually, quite funnily, this morning I did see a tweet from Fabrizio Romano. So obviously it is the truth, about Bruno has been linked to Saudi Arabia in January. And he's focused fully on Manchester United, but fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. No losers of the week.
10 million for him.
Oh, mate. Well, we could do. I don't know. I don't know what actually would be like. What would be a price for Bruno Fernandes? Like, obviously, everyone dislikes him because he's Manchester United, and dislikes him because he's a bit of a moaning bitch. But he is, you know, his stats don't lie. He's a very good player. What would be a price where you would go, yeah, that's probably fair? Like, without being biased with your teams, and it's not your team buying him, so he's going to Saudi, and obviously you've seen some of the Saudi money that's been spent. I'd be honest, like, anything less than 150, I think, is a bit of a waste of time, to be honest. If with Saudi, I'm not being
biased.
How much
are you buying for?
58.
I think. Do you know roughly how long is left on his deal?
He's just signed, I think he's up to 2020.
What's on your head there? What's going? What happened then? You had like a little thumbs up coming up. Remember the balloons that came up last week?
It's not my birthday this week. I think he's on till 2026.
Nah, I reckon around 100. You got to consider 100, you know.
Nah, the one thing I'd say, you need more than that. He's
like, sorry, I was just gonna say, the one thing I'd say is he's better than Enzo Fernandez, right? He, you know, so you're talking north of that fee, and he's also like, as much as I don't really like him, he's always fit too, isn't he? Though. Oh, I know, yeah, you know, but like, yeah. I just think he's more than he's always fit.
Since playing for us, he's missed one game, and he didn't start another game. That other game was against you in the Carabao Cup, like your cup final. But apart from that, yeah, he's only ever missed one game, and that was down to scheduling, and I think that was not through to injury, but actually through to United just leaving him out. Mm. So, yeah, I mean, that's a big thing, right? Anyway, I'm sure we can discuss that later down the line. But we are going to say there are no losers because we are continuing that fantastic positive vibes from last week. Unless anyone else wants to kind of... Anyone been triggered by anything massively? We talked about loving the match engine, but we've seen some weird things. Anyone got anything else?
I think they fixed the goalkeeper injuries thing because that was doing the rounds. And we've spoken about it. Dave, you had it. I had a game where both keepers got injured within a minute of each other and both got subbed off. My keeper and theirs.
A minute.
But then a patch came out.
Yeah, see, I had no goalkeeper injuries. And then as soon as they done the patch, I got one. Broke his arm, 3 months out, catching a ball.
Okay. I don't know. Yeah, catching a ball thing is weird. I've seen that. I don't know. Maybe it's...
I think that's just got to be the generic... Yeah, but I think that's got to be just a generic... kind of
they're always catching
line of code or whatever it is, you know. It's basically broke his arm doing his job.
We've all been there.
My only loser is big club reputations as well, because I talk about it in the save updates, but Sporting, Benfica and Porto, I had chances to dick all of those in terms of if you look at the game statistics, and mate, they just can't be beaten. Yet.
Okay. Well, I think that's a really nice segment or a segue into the next segment, which is save updates. So let's crack on with that. Let's start with Joe, because you've had a fun first couple of weeks in your new save. So go on, let's dive in a bit deeper.
Season one, done and dusted, kippers and custard. So we've
3 days.
Smashed, well, for me, smashed through it. Had a good kind of weekend. Last weekend, I suppose it was, playing it. Got through so many games. As we were talking about just before we recorded the pod, just saying I went into the season, I didn't want to make any signings, just wanted to go with their current squad. So it's pretty kind of solid, good two position, you know, two players for every position. I was kind of happy with what was there for Portugal. What I didn't want to do was start messing up the squad before I'd really got into it and got started. And, you know, as I say, I was quite happy with what they had there. first thing I done was refresh the backroom staff. You know, something when I, again, played a few saves before starting this one and didn't touch anything to do with backroom. So I hadn't picked a set piece coach up. Wasn't allowed a set piece coach at Famalicão, but I did bring a coach in that was good at set pieces and just added him into the coaching team and got him doing the set pieces. I posted it on Twitter and then he followed me on Twitter after that, which I thought was quite funny. So when I do the actual save write up, I might reference him and, you know, give him a little tag on there because I think he's at Nice at the moment. But on his Twitter, he seems to do a lot of things in French football. So he's actually quite an interesting Twitter account to follow. After I'd set up my backroom team, and again, I put it on Twitter, just kind of going through how I do it, how I set up my backroom team, and a few people were going, oh, what are those numbers referencing to? And it was just my own little calculation for making sure that I got a better staff member than I already had at the club. So I built a good backroom team, and most of the bars were gold going into the, you know, comparing them. So when you're comparing them to your Sporting's, Benfica and Porto, I thought that's quite good because they've got bigger backroom teams, but just by making sure that you're covering off those areas, you can make sure that you have a really solid backroom team. And that was the coaching side. I set up my recruitment team because in my first blog post, I said about that I'd be picking up the scraps from the big three. So I went out and got scouts that were obviously extensive Portuguese knowledge, but I was picking up scouts that had worked for the clubs as well. So I had a Porto scout, a Benfica scout, and I don't know which way around I said that, but yeah, for all three of them, I had a scout that had worked for them previously, and then basically set up this little recruitment drive to go through like the under-19s, the under-23s, the B teams if they had them, and then I was setting up my shortlists to basically just keep them scouted and then pick up the players in those kind of lower categories. And I think at the end of this season, I've got two or three players that were kind of graded A and B that I'm going to get for free out of their youth academies. So rather than me relying on building my own, I'll steal theirs. And that's my idea, is to kind of get them for free. And then even if it's a case of just flip them, if you can. Like, the money in Portugal isn't great. Transfer values aren't massively high outside of the big three. So I'm just going to try and, you know, flip them to make a bit of money that way. And hopefully, you know, I might get a few come through that I can play in the first team. And then, yeah, what else have I done? Training. First time I played with this training model. So I've set up my own training schedules. Play a lot of Friday games, a lot of Sunday games. And then, so just making different schedules. I mean, I know Dave just loves a click and pick, but I've actually gone through and I'm trying to kind of use the training schedules based on what we're doing in the team. So if you're going to be playing against the big three, try and make sure your training schedules fit what you're trying to do. So whether it's, you know, counter-attacking or whatever it is, build that into the training schedules there. Tactically wise, I've got a kind of 4-4-2, 4-2-4, however you want to look at it. It's four defenders, two holding midfielders, which is a DLP and a Segundo Valente. Then a winger, inside forward, and then deep line forward and an advanced forward up front. And I've kind of stuck to that. I haven't really changed from it too much. Again, you see a Twitter thread I've done where I was analysing kind of playing against Benfica. I've done that with Sporting, Benfica, Porto, just looking at little ways to try and nullify them. I think in the one I put on Twitter, it was against Sporting. And it was things like Jokeres being free at the back post, just making sure you had someone on him. You could see that they were funneling in the defensive transitions. They would kind of go narrow, so they were leaving a lot of width. So obviously when I'm playing Chiquinho as a winger, I'm making sure he stays out wide. And I'm looking, obviously, to take advantage of that. Mate, every game I played against that big three, I dominated them on the stats, but couldn't beat them. So I'm hoping just with a little bit more quality, a little bit more kind of an analytical approach to playing them, I think we should be able to rob some points off them. But they are like just serious, different level in that league compared to where we're at the moment. Players wise, a couple of players that we've got in on loan. Obviously Chiquinho that we talked about. I said to Dave the other night, I was like, oh, is it true? Got a 2.1 million release clause on Chiquinho for Famalicão. He was like, no way. I was like, well, it's in the game, mate. But on loan, he was already my highest paid player, 12.5 grand a week. Next highest was £4,600 a week. and I was umming and ahhing at the end of the season whether I should make it permanent or not. I'm thinking 2.1 million, you should get your money back on him, but he wanted 25 grand a week. So then it would go 25 grand a week to my next highest player, which will be £12,500. So I have increased kind of the playing staff wages, but still it's 25 grand. I'm like, I've got it in the budget. But at the same time, I'm like, that's a lot of money to fork out on him. But there won't be another. I mean, him and Galeno, probably the two best wingers in the whole league. So I'm hoping that if he performs well, either he'll get sold to one of the big three, or again he'll get a move abroad for a few quid to top the finances up. Our right back Nathan was on loan from Santos. Mate, what a budget right back he was. Honestly, really, really good. Like, statistically, well, he was the best in the league. He got in the team of the year. Wow. Literally every other player in there was Sporting, Benfica, Porto, and then you just got a little Famalicão right back in there. And again, he was I think he's 1.9 million to make it permanent. So I had to sign him at the end of the season because I don't think I'd get a better right back for what he was, but worked brilliantly with Chiquinho on the right. So proper little solid right hand side. Signed up for season number two. I had the investment that came into the club was Pedro Goncalves was purchased. Newcastle bought him and he went for about 40 odd million. So I got 10% of that. So that was a nice little sell on there. I mean, you're talking, it was just under 5 million in total once it's all paid off. But 5 million buys you a lot of cheap shit in Portugal. So it was quite a nice little inbox item to get in January. We finished fourth in the league. Probably, I'd say between fourth and sixth was where we were all year through. And as it was getting towards the kind of squeaky bum time, I thought, fourth place is more than achievable. We was playing really well. I've got two strikers, Cadiz and Araujo, who's the Benfica striker who was at Watford last year, young under 21 Portuguese striker. Him and Cadiz, mate. Cadiz was an absolute bagsman. He scored plenty. He wants to leave to go to a bigger club because, I've played him so well that he scored loads of goals. Now he thinks he's too big for his boots. So he'll no doubt leave. I think he's got a year left on his contract. So I've kind of said, look, 4.5 million, someone wants to come and get you. See you later. So we'll have to replace him. But yeah, it's been a good first season. Enjoyed the save massively. But yeah, we'll see how we roll for season two.
So you said you finished fourth. So where does that leave you European competition?
Europa League, mate.
Group stages or you got to qualify?
I think I might have to go qualification. I can't actually remember.
So that's some good money for you then.
Yeah, it will be. It's the only problem I always find with getting into Europe is you need a bigger squad or you need more depth in your squad. So that's the only thing. Yes, you may earn a couple of quid if you do all right, but it's having that squad depth to then be able to cope with league and Europe. So we'll see. We'll see.
Joe, I was going to ask if you had any targets in mind. Maybe it's too soon. And then the other thing I was going to ask you is, how did the youth intake look?
Average. It wasn't too bad. When you're looking at players and you're kind of going, you got to see... You have to look at it and kind of go, can I do something with this later on? At the moment, I'm not that fussed about the youth side of it because I think it's going to be more picking up the scraps from the bigger teams with the better youth academies and seeing if I can pick two or three of them up. So I'd probably be looking at like the under-23s, seeing if I can build a decent under-23s with some kind of recruits from that, like the free transfers, picking them up. And then, give it a couple of seasons, we might start looking at what we can do with our own kind of youth setup.
Nice.
Are they board quite forthcoming, like upgrading all that, or is it quite high already?
Well, they wanted to qualify for the Europa League, was their objective for this season, so done that, which was quite lucky. And then it says to just become best of the rest. And then I think the season when my contract expires, it says attempt to win the league.
Ooh.
I'm like, yeah, it might be a little bit too soon, boys. It's all right. We'll have a go.
Yeah. Very exciting. Are we going to see a blog post about it, Joe, or is this kind of where it's going to be?
Eventually, mate. I've been red injured this week, so I haven't written anything.
Yeah. Yeah. We're glad to have you back, though. We're glad to, you know, have you in ready for it. Pass that late fitness test, mate. Right, I guess we're going to have to go and listen to Mad. Go on, mate. Tell us how you got on this week. Can't wait. Okay, brilliant. Dave, how's yours? Have your 5 minutes.
I'll take two.
We'll ten, knowing three. You.
So managing Ike, which is a club in Sweden, as we know. So we're doing the old Allsvenskan or nothing save. I can't remember even what we said last week. But anyway, dropped a blog last week. Joe, you were talking about that scout liking on your Twitter post. I think I said it to you, lads. I randomly had the manager of the South African Premier League champions retweeted my blog post. So whatever he's reading that about a Swedish save is beyond me. I released a blog post last week, talked a little bit about how the save was set up, got some new kits on the go. Actually, something we should probably come back to do would be like, you know, setting up saves and like the database sizes and what we all tend to do. I think that could be nice for a bit of airtime. Because there's loads of different ways of doing it, like playable leagues, non-playable leagues, how much data, how much you add in, and so on. But
we'll add it to the bottom of the list.
Add it to the bottom of the list, yeah, for the rainy day.
Very rainy.
So we started the save, happily to start the save, obviously waiting for the full version. Signed a couple of players, didn't have much budget, but Ike had sold one of their highest ever departures was that guy Yasin Ayari that went to Brighton. We have his brother in the youth academy here. But I had about $1 million to spend, kind of spent the bones of half of it to three quarters of it. But one player in for about 350K was Oscar Peterson. He had just got promoted. He scored like 15 goals in the division below to help his team win the league. So we brought him in as a kind of a right winger. Brought in a couple of free transfers. Antti Korić was one of them. He's a Croatian kind of former wonder kid from FM17. I remember him being like really, really good as an 18-year-old, I think. He's now like 25. He went to Roma for $6 million in real life. Didn't really play, went on three loans, and then they released him. So just hasn't worked out. Those couple of signings definitely helped. And the big one that really stood out, and I'll come to the role in a minute, was Oscar Højlund, who's Rasmus's brother, one of the twin brothers playing for Copenhagen. So we brought him in to be a midfielder, playing a kind of a 4-3-3 with double Mazzalas, and oh my God, is it working? we had done it at Palace and it was working really well, and did it again here in Ike. And I don't know if any of you seen this, lads, but like between these two, another Swedish guy called Saletros beside him is quite good. Between them both, they scored something like 25 goals between them both. Oscar Højlund had like 16 goals from a Mazzala position. But it wasn't just late runs in the box or long shots, or he was scoring headers. He was everywhere, you know. So like between the two of them, yeah, that like they were the kind of the shining light. My striker is this Cypriot guy called Ionis Pittas, which is a lovely name, and he scored like 23 goals, top scorer in the league. Which probably brings me on to the fact that we did win the league. So when I started the save, like we won the opening five games, and I was having a little bit of alarm bells. I was like, oh crap, you know, I've seen a few tweets saying is FM24 too easy, scoring too many goals. And, you know, I was a bit like, shit, are we just going to blitz this whole season? Thankfully, it sounds weird, but like we went on to lose a game and I was a little bit relieved. So then the form was a little bit choppy in the middle of the season. It's a short season in Sweden as well. It's only like 30 games. So by the time we got halfway, I was sitting in and around fourth in the league, but it was like, you know, a team on 33, then 32, 31, 30. It was really, really close to the top. And then interesting things happened. That was around the time I went live. Some of you lads were there. I started streaming it for that kind of second part of the season. And the wins I started picking up were insane. We won one game 7-1, another one 6-0. And these were against like the rivals like Hammarby and Djurgården's, like good teams. The only team we couldn't beat properly was Malmo. They beat us twice in the season. Pricks. So ended up kind of having a bit of a run and obviously a really nice goal difference. And basically, as it happens, we got to something like the third last game, and it was between us and Malmo, two horse race to win the league. And it just happened very quickly. We didn't really win. They kind of lost it. Like I was looking at the points, you know, and I was about 4 points clear or whatever. And then with two games to go, or whatever, the third last game, they, you know, if they won, they were still in it. If they didn't, then mathematically they're out. And they lost that game. And we just kind of won the league like that, live on stream, which was lovely. I ended up staying streaming till about 1:30 to get it done. So I was tired. But yeah, league champions, Duke. And apparently you're impressed.
I'm impressed with kind of how do I put this without kind of sounding like I'm sucking you off too much?
Well, I could probably summarise it quite quickly. Do you remember when you started doing the podcast, Dupe, all those years ago? And you was terrible at the game, weren't you? Teach battered you every week.
Yes.
So anyone that comes on the pod and stays on it gets better at Football Manager.
Dave, then it's your turn then.
No, Dave's done a penalty, mate. He's done it. So Mad's been on it. Mad's been on here, and he's started to become a good Football Manager.
Slowly.
It's what this pod does.
To be honest, though, it is. It's just chatting about things. Like, and there's a lot of things. I mean, we don't do it much now, but we used to kind of dive into things, and I'd come away and I'd go, I've got to make a note of that because I should be doing that. I should be doing this and I should be doing that. But I was a little bit impressed with the way that your game management and the way that you were kind of working, you know, your team. I liked it. I was impressed when I watched about 5 minutes.
I do like that he plays the game like they're all off their nut on cocaine, like they're just buzzing around everywhere. Come on, lads, off to IKEA for some meatballs and some coke.
You're very lucky that you've only got 30 games because they'd be absolutely knackered.
Yeah, that's the thing. Actually, it's like, in some ways it's nice because like I play the game really slow, like and which is probably convenient because there's like a 4-month gap between seasons. The season finishes in November and it doesn't start until like March or April or something. So there's a big old gap of admin
to be done.
That's
more than 4 months, mate.
Well, I mean, they go on holidays. So we do let the lads have a 2-week holiday and then we bring them in for 4 months of pre-season. Great fun. But yeah, it's nice to, pretty much a week I've completed a season. That's probably a record for me.
On the first penalty, I did the Chinese season was like that because you've only got the league and the one cup. So when like you're lower down, you're out the cup, but you only have about the same sort of thing, about 30 league games. So it seems like you get through the seasons really, really quickly.
Yeah,
sometimes it's fun to play the game that way, to be fair. It just feels like you're progressing quite quickly throughout the game.
So let's talk about progression and obviously winning the league. We expect you to do exactly the same next year. European-wise, where are you? What are you, you know, what's your level? Are you up in that reputation of that league yet, or is it a bit too soon for that?
It's definitely too soon for that, I would say. Obviously, we've literally just finished the season, so I haven't really progressed to see like the season kind of update thing, you know, to see like what are the next steps. But basically, in the Allsvenskan, which is the Swedish league, you have to win the league to get towards Champions League. Only one team can, and it only puts you into the second knockout round, I think.
Oh, wow.
So I still have to go through that. That's going to be fun. But I think what I'm really going to try and do is it's going to be a slow burner in terms of like I'm trying to kind of bring through a lot more kind of Swedish players. So a lot of the young players I've signed may not be like first team ready or may never be first team ready, but it's either, you know, trying to increase, I guess, the amount of Swedish players that are there. Selling for profit will be part of that too. We actually had an okay youth intake. I actually had one player come through. I can actually, you know, Dave, we could probably put this up on screen. There was a goalkeeper called Adam Johnson, spelt with the Swedish spelling. That was good fun. But thankfully, he's not the one I'm talking about. But I did have a new gen come through. Yeah. A new gen came through called Robin Eden Pearson. And he is 16. That's a screenshot we're looking at here. But
if
pace 13,
YouTube,
acceleration 14.
Dave's going to pop it out.
Yes,
and a screenshot.
And then I'll put the picture on the screen. Yeah,
yeah. Get on YouTube. But for a 16-year-old, he's got 15 finishing, 14 first touch. He's got 17 flair and a lovely green 19 determination. So
wow.
I quite like this guy.
His long throws are terrible, though.
He looks good, man.
We'll get over that.
Why is that still an attribute, man?
It's crazy, isn't it? So he could be. I'm playing a 4-3-3, but a lone striker. With him and the other kid that we spoke about last week, which was Jonah Kusi-Asar, I'm thinking I may need to drift towards two strikers at some point in the future if we hang on to both those players. But like I had someone in stream who had sold that guy, Jonah Kuusiosaari. He said he sold him to Dortmund for 17 million. 17 million in the Swedish league is mad money.
I was just going to say, context, he's done there. He's won €8 a week.
Yeah, €8 a week. I'm a good guy. I'm a good manager. But like that money
literally
is...
Literally giving
like
him
any,
money
anything
for
sweets.
Like
€8.
€8 a week. But like the prize money for winning the league is 3 million. Like the highest... the highest departure that my club have ever had is Alexander Isak. He went to Dortmund and it was like something like 7 million. Do you know what I mean? Like it's, you know, that a lot of money goes a long way. So like if we're going to get that 3 million prize money for winning the league. So if I can get 2 maybe in the transfer budget, like I could do a lot with that. So fingers crossed. There's one, Joe, we're going to start the pursuit actually. You know how we like to talk about the Friday night FM pursuit every now and
you
again?
You love it. Yeah.
Formerly the Teach Pursuit, I think. But John Melberg, whose father was Olaf Melberg.
Olaf.
Is on the books at RB Salzburg. And he's 16. Now we had a bid accepted. It was like we bid 500k and then a pile of add-ons. And the bid got accepted, but he rejected it. So the pursuit has begun. So he's Swedish, but I think he was born in born in Birmingham, now that I think about it. Because his dad played for Aston Villa, didn't he? So yeah, he's the new number one target that I'll probably never be able to sign. Such is life.
To be fair, I guess if you're off for half the year, you've got a chance to kind of go and look at these players. Like if you're not playing through the whole of winter, you can just go scouting all winter. Go kind of watching some games.
Unless you do what I did by accident, which was I upped my scouting budget at the start of the save to have kind of worldwide coverage, and then I forgot to turn it off, and I spent all my budget in 2.5 months, and I couldn't scout anyone with the window.
You know that credit we gave him at the start, Joe?
League champion over here.
Just a quick one, Matt, because you talked about the fact that if you win the league, you go into second phase. What does second get you? Does that get you Europa League? Does that get you...
Second gets you Europa League, yeah.
Because at this stage, I mean, and if you lose that qualifying game, that first game in the Champions League, you're out. You've got no Europe at all next year.
I believe so, yeah. I don't see why I would then get into something
else.
The other weird thing that's...
I'll be really intrigued to see if you get qualified.
Yeah, the other weird thing that's on my mind as well is, so the season has finished in November. I'm in kind of end of November now, maybe December. Like, I'm not going in... I won't be playing Champions League until a year from... Well, maybe 9 months from now because
The July, August of the following year.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. So I will start our second season in February and then probably won't play Champions League until July or August with that qualifier. Mm. So that's going to be an interesting dynamic as well. Because I hadn't really thought about it until
it
happened.
Through the off-season, if you qualify, yeah, then you've got into knockouts. If, obviously, big if.
So these lads are never going to get a holiday and they get €8 a week. So, you know,
yeah,
great. Off Sweden.
Awesome. Dave, earlier you touched upon the Penties. Do you want to tell us up to date, or get us up to date with the Wolves, and then kind of tease us with your plans on the Penty?
No. He's muted.
He's muted himself.
Yeah, sorry, Jeez. I muted myself. I finished season 2 of the Wolves save this week. That was the sort of the plan. As soon as I sort of started this season 2, I thought, you know, I'll get this season done. I'll keep the save as like an offline save. If at any point that I'm sort of chilling out and don't really want to be playing the penalty, I'll still use it. It was a bit of a slog, to be fair. We still finished quite well, but in regards to, you know, I think the team and the squad struggled a lot with the increase of fixtures with the Champions League and sort of trying to be more competitive on all fronts, really. So, obviously, I would have sort of previewed, I think, the sort of the season last time out and sort of the players that I'd brought in. But I'd signed some good players, spent a little bit of money. And overall, the season went okay. We finished 7th in the end, which meant we qualified for the Conference League. We lost out in the FA Cup final, which I'll touch upon in a second as well. And then in the Champions League, we did okay, but knocked out very narrowly by PSG in the end. Lost out in the round of 16 in the Champions League. But I mean, quickly looking at my schedule, it was just lack of consistency, really. Like towards the end of the season, we really hit a good run of form, started winning a lot of games. And I thought, you know what, we could sneak into the sort of top 5, top 4 here. Then losing out to Manchester United, we lost the final game of the season to Everton, 5-4. I think if we won that game, we would have had a good chance of getting in, you know, into at least the Europa League. And then we ended the season against Chelsea in the FA Cup. So we beat Chelsea in 5-4 earlier, just a few weeks before. We had a lot of high-scoring games. They scored in the 64th minute. I equalised in the 69th minute. And then they scored a 98th minute winner. And then right after that, I hit the bar, I think, in the 99th minute. So, but in the end, obviously, we lost. So that was a bit of a frustrating way to end the season, to be honest. But in regards to big news, which I haven't really spoke about, I know Mad sort of teased it earlier, we did sign Messi in the January window. I know we spoke, we spoke about maybe bringing him in the summer, and the wages and the finances just weren't right. And I thought, you know what, if I am going to just smash through this save and, you know, possibly finish at the end of this season, let's see what I can do. And I sort of did that pursuit, which you sort of alluded to earlier. I sort of registered interest in him, got scouts to watch him. So I think that brought his demands a little bit more reasonable. We ended up having a £5 million bid accepted by Inter Miami, got him on a contract. He's been okay, but I just think with the physical demands, with the amount of games that we were playing, I think physically he couldn't quite keep up. But he still did all right. Got 9 assists, 7 goals in about 24 games. Which wasn't awful. But yeah, in terms of his contract, he's on 325 grand a week, 85 grand per appearance, 70 grand per goal, 50 grand per assist. if we won the Champions League, he would have got 3 million quid. Matched the highest earner, obviously. But yeah, he was okay. It was obviously quite fun and nice to have him in the end. But yeah, just a bit of an underwhelming finish. Still in Europe, which is obviously great. Best players got to be Rooney, Bargy. I think if he's still early signs and early, you know, Maddie's probably a bit late for, you know. I mean, I know he's Swedish, but he's quality, you know, in terms of calibre. Yeah. But yeah, I got him at the start of season 2 for £9 million. I could easily demand 80, 90 plus for him now. He's absolutely phenomenal. 21 goals and 17 assists in his first season as a number 10. And then someone who hit some really good form towards the end of the season, Emmanuel Amega, Dutch striker, plays for... I signed him from Strasbourg in France. I don't know if he plays for them or if he's just moved there from Sturm Graz in Austria.
He's
but
in Strasbourg, man.
Yeah, he is, yeah. So I bought him for £12 million, scored 26 goals for me in all comps. I think if I quickly look at his goal per minute ratio, we got a goal every 96 minutes in all competitions. So he was on fire towards the end of the campaign. So good squad, but... Yeah, if I carry it on, I think it's going to need a little bit more mending and some more quality in certain areas to compete on all fronts.
I was actually going to ask you, Dave, because I found that whenever, if I tuned into the stream, which you can tell us where that is in a minute, you seem to be kind of getting, like, it seemed like Jose Sá was letting you down a lot, no? That's just me.
Yeah, no, towards the end of the season, he was frustrating. So, it's the whole of season one, which was predominantly in the beta, I had no issues with goalkeeper injuries whatsoever.
Mm.
And then obviously season two started and it was the full release. And then I had Sarr get injured right before a game. I think that was kept out 5 to 6 weeks. And then the next game, I had Wes Fodderingham as my backup goalkeeper. He got injured during the game. And I was like, so I've gone through 5 to 6 weeks as well. And I thought, I've gone through a whole season here when everyone was having issues. And now all of a sudden I have my two goalkeepers. Mm. So I had to get Zach Steffen in on an emergency loan. Thankfully, I got him in time for the next game. But yes, I was awful. So I think if I continue, that's an area that I'm going to improve. I don't know. I think I'm fairly satisfied with a lot of, but I think I need an unbelievable striker. Like I need a world-class striker because I think that was my, I know Omega started hitting the goals towards the end of the season, but he just felt in front of goal. I lacked a bit of consistency, to be honest. Even Fabio Silva, who he valued between 15 and 67 million on mine, he scored 13 goals, but he played 48 games altogether. So it's not a great return. So I think that's one area. And players like Evan Ferguson and stuff, they say they're interested, but obviously they're going to cost a lot of money. So we'll wait and see. But I think goalkeeper and a world-class striker are probably the two areas And you could say Messi is a world-class striker, but... So most of the time, I was trying to play him as a number 10 and use his creativity because there were times where he picked the ball up and he'd just pick out a pass. And you're like, how on earth has he just done that? It's like absolutely ridiculous. So, they're the two areas, really.
Obviously, I'll touch upon mine a bit, but there was a stage where I had a contract agreed with Messi to come to Manchester United. and I had a bid accepted for Ronaldo. And before I could get in to go in contract and negotiations, he actually retired and just stopped playing.
Ronaldo.
Yeah, so I wanted, Ronaldo. So I wanted to just get both Messi and Ronaldo at United just because you could. But at the time, like, Messi was like, wanted like 56 grand a week. It was mental. So I was just like, fine. Mm. But then obviously it just never happened. Okay, that's enough about what's happened. What's happening? What's your plans? Where you going? What's happening?
So yeah, the Pentagon, obviously I'm going to start it this week. So this will be out on Monday. I'm probably going to start it today, the Monday.
Where are you going to start it, Dave?
Twitch.tv/Dave as a party, mate, yeah. So in terms of database and stuff, I think at the start I'm going to load pretty much all major nations from across the world. Part of me wants to download the Saudi leagues as well.
Okay.
Only because I think that could give me a real hit. Well, one, it'd be quite cool to manage there, but two, I think that'd be in Asia. I think I'd struggle to compete with some of those. Like, even if I went to a good J League team or a good team in China, I think competing with Saudi is going to be very, very difficult. So I think I might download that if I can find a half decent database. But yeah, how I did it last time was because of obviously the save file towards the end after like 15, 20 years. Once I've completed Asia, I'll probably just put Saudi and stuff on view only or delete them as a playable league. And obviously it will, you know, lighten the load a little bit. But probably Asia, Africa or South Africa and then Asia. And then obviously wherever else, probably North America, South America and then Europe. But yeah, looking forward to it, to be fair. I think if I can hit the ground running sooner rather than later, I think it'll be a really cool save to get into. And fingers crossed, yeah, it'll be quite enjoyable. And fingers crossed, we have quite a good update next week as well.
So you mentioned J-League. Is that going to be kind of on the horizon while you're kind of scouring? Are you going to head that way or are you just kind of wherever it may take you?
Yeah, well, it's going to be there as an option. I think it'd be cool if I can obviously manage there. Now it's obviously a fully licensed league. That's why part of me is thinking, do I download the Saudi League? Do I just keep it almost completely vanilla and don't download any databases? I think that'd probably be the best option. I suppose that's quite a cool challenge, but if I'm honest, if I do really well with a J-League team, am I going to be able to win the Champions League against teams with Cristiano Ronaldo, Sadio Mane, or whoever, you know? So I suppose that's always part of the challenge. We'll have to wait and see, but I'll probably have a conversation with you boys about it. Or let me know what you think now and maybe have a think about it later on tonight, but part of me is going to probably... I still don't know. I don't know why Duke's got balloons.
Honestly, who's doing this?
But yeah, I'm not
it's
sure.
It's to celebrate Dave's new save. That's what it is. There you go, and again.
Yeah.
You're doing something, aren't you?
Yep. Oh, I swear my life, look. It must be that. You did something earlier like that, and it came up with a thumbs up as well.
Strange.
I just put my fingers
up. I was going to say as well, didn't Football Manager tweet that they've officially linked up with a club in the J League? Was it Marinos, Yokohama?
Angie's former club, wasn't it?
Is that who it is? Yeah. I must have a little read to that. Yeah, nice. Yokohama Marinos. So they'll be good at, obviously licensed and have all the right images and stuff if you're in the J League, Dave.
Right, Dave, my thoughts on it are pretty simple, mate. You don't want to get 10, 15 seasons down the line and it all just goes Pete Tong because you try to get a Saudi league in. Honestly, yeah. I don't. I would steer far away from it, in my opinion. I like the idea, I like the concept, and maybe as a one-off save, but it scares me, mate. It scares me to kind of view to put all that work in for it all just to come crumbling down because you tried to do it.
To be fair, I know I'm worrying about it now, but there's been times before where if I get obviously build a half decent team in Japan and they're not short of money, some of the teams, you know, some of them are like Iniesta for argument's sake, or you know, you could build a nice team there. And I think if you get quite lucky in your draw and even a Saudi team with two or three world class players, but it's one game, isn't it? You can keep those quiet and win the match. So I suppose it's all part of the challenge, isn't it? Like if I struggle in Japan or struggle in Asia rather, could just shift over to Africa and or wherever and always leave that till later on in the challenge, I suppose.
Yeah, nice. Awesome.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Good. Well, we're looking forward to it as well. And obviously, you can find that over at twitch.tv/ Dave as a party FM.
Just Dave as a party, mate. Lost the FM.
And mate.
Right, official now, mate.
It is. Yeah. That's when you started playing FIFA for a bit. I'll be really quick with mine. I can't really remember what we spoke about last time, but I've kind of pressed on a little bit, and we referenced it earlier with Bruno Fernandes, selling him for I mean, it's actually £205 million. I also was able to sell Victor Lindelof, Jadon Sancho, and Johnny Evans for £60 million combined. And we just pressed on with the season, really. Managed to get Victor Osimhen in the winter, managed to get us up to fourth. So basically I started and we were down in ninth or tenth. So it was a bit of a tough one. We'd already lost a lot of the games in the Champions League as well. And I wasn't able to keep us in the Champions League, but we managed to get to the Europa League and we got knocked out in the quarters. In the FA Cup, we got knocked out in the quarters, and in the Carabao Cup, we got knocked out in the third round. And that was it, really. It was a really quite boring season. The highest we ever got, we had like two or three days in third position. City ran away with it. Liverpool came second. Arsenal came third. And we snuck in just in front of a small town called Newcastle to get us into the top four. But actually, I think Newcastle got a Champions League spot. Don't worry. I think you got a Champions League spot because of the coefficient stuff now, which is really weird.
Ah, yes.
And then the madness hit on. And like I said, we sold Bruno Fernandes. And I thought, okay, that's enough to put, you know, a little bit of, we could get somebody new in there. We could build a few extra players. And then the bids just kept coming in. And I just kept offering players out. And we sold Casemiro for 70 million. Wan-Bissaka for 31. Malacia for 12. Eriksen for 21. Maguire for 12. Varane for 28.5. McTominay for 27. I sold Van der Beek for 11.5 million. And like, it was just mental. Real Madrid started their season with a back four and they had Wan-Bissaka, Harry Maguire and Lindelof in that back four. It's just like, what the fuck? Like, honestly. So we brought in a £420 million worth of players. And it was just, our squad was left with such a bare bone. So we had Onana, we had Dalot, Martinez, Shaw, Mount, Rashford, Garnacho, Hoyland and Osimhen. That was it. We had no other players. So I had to really spend a bit of money I did. I haven't got time to go through them all because there's so many that I've managed to bring in. But a few that I really, really have enjoyed playing with at the moment. We're only in September, I believe. But we brought in Florian Wirtz, who we spoke about quite a few times. I've brought him before. But he is such a talent. He's such a young lad and his attributes are so, so good. And he's playing in that number 10 role where Bruno was. And it's a hell of an upgrade, I'll be honest, out of the bat. We also brought João Neves in to play the number four. So obviously that's taking him away from Portugal for you, Dave. You're not Dave, Joe, right? Done you a favour, but paid through the nose for him. And then I brought Manu Kone in as well. So that was my midfield three. Under 21 and just absolutely insane. Hit the ground running, been awesome. I've also brought in Scalvini, which is a player that spoke about a lot on this podcast, because again, he is just immense. And we have got, like I said, we have got Hoyland, we've got some good strikers, but one thing I didn't think we had is we didn't have backup strikers. We didn't have players that could come in with all these games that we were playing. So I was able to bring in a young Evan Ferguson. Dave, you mentioned him earlier. I managed to get him in, get him in the van. And I'll tell you now, he's exciting. He's a very good player. And we've had some exciting times with him. But he's not scored as much as I'd like him to score. He has played, was it 12 games he's played? So I've kind of eased him in. I say he hasn't scored as much as I'd like him to. He scored 8 in 12. And we, like I said, we've got some other talent, but you know,
with 8 and 12.
Because we're expecting big numbers, mate. I'm expecting really big numbers. But yeah, we're doing quite well. We're not in September. I lie. Look, it's been a while since we've played this now. We're actually in October, doing well in the Champions League, and we're in the league phase. So it's where we play all sorts of teams. But we opened the season with a 4-0 win against Leicester and a 7-0 win against Fulham. And that was kind of when I was just like, I'm cooking with this team. Like, I've done so well. And yeah, we're just plodding along, really. Seeing what we can do this season. We're currently top of the league. City are just behind us. Still in the FA Cup, still in the Champions League, still in the Carabao Cup. We've got quite an exciting time going on. So I'm sure there'll be a better update next week. But just so many transfers, and it's quite hard to keep track of. But it's been interesting, very interesting indeed.
Dupe, are we far from seeing this save or any save on stream? Because my Twitch subscription renewed today and I don't feel I'm getting the full value for it.
You see me here. To be fair, the most content that I've streamed to you, Matt, is where we had a clock off. mine is definitely bigger than yours, but it might just be where the way the camera's sat. No, we're miles away.
Angle.
If we manage to get on live on Twitch before Christmas, then that's a bonus. I'll be honest.
I'll cancel my subscription, so I'll renew it.
No. Still got to support a streamer, mate. Come on. We've nearly finished the lounge. Then I've just got to put a lick of paint around here, change a radiator here, and then we'll be building. But yeah, it's just trying to find the time, mate. You know what I mean? It's just trying to find the time.
All in good time. No rush.
I want it to be perfect. And you know me, I like to build a setup and I like to have flash things and show things off. And true. The only way I can do that is by getting it perfect, man. But thank you for your concern.
Fair point.
Saying that though, this gate save would never be on Twitch, but there is databases out there now that's got the Cirencester Town on there. So I've been having a little tweak around, having a little look at it. There's actually a couple of the lads that I know that play for them that aren't on there. So I'm going to get it tweaked up a little bit, but I don't know who's done this database, but it's very good at that level. I'm very impressed. I'm intrigued to see how that save goes and whether we actually do that save, because I've got some other ideas as well. So you never know.
Nice.
Right. Shall we jump really over? Quickly, yeah.
Sorry, I was going to say, because you mentioned Siren, it triggered me. Any of you see that thing on Twitter that Bromley have done with Football Manager? They're running a competition.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
To bring in a football manager expert to be like a tactician for the clubbers.
What's the community like for you?
Surely.
No, tell them not to ring me.
Oh, just play Double Mazzala, mate.
Yeah, Double Mazzalas, lads. What are you talking about? No, I just thought it was interesting. It was it got quite a bit of noise on the Twitter machine.
No, it's good. Really good. Yeah, it's interesting to see how these clubs interact with the community, right?
Mm.
Right, lads. Should we just quickly do the Adventures of Wonder Kidland, or should we jump there next week?
Do it. No, let's do it.
Do it.
Want to do it now?
He doesn't want to do it because he can't pronounce the name.
Adventures in Wonder Kidland takes us over to Belgium, and as we speak, a 17-year-old Wonder Kid is having his breakout season at Royal Antwerp. Having moved there from Amiens in France this summer and already playing in the Jupiter League. Jupiter League? Crikey.
Jupiter.
Mate, honestly, I'm nervous because I can't say it. He's out of this world, right? And he is also playing in Champions League football. George Elenikena. I've got no idea how to pronounce him. George Elenikena.
Elenikena
has scored 3 goals in his last 4 games for Antwerp. And most impressively, he's come off the bench to score all 3. A total of 55 minutes of football played for the 2006-born youngster, crikey, I feel old, who's also played minutes in all 4 of Antwerp's Champions League group games this season. That group includes Shakhtar, Porto and Barcelona. Let's have a look at him in FM, lads. What are we saying? I mean, apart from my butchering that, but what else are we saying?
Yeah, you're not saying his name again, anyway.
He'll do all right with the old shirts out. Bit of lettering.
Yeah.
it's not an easy one to say, but I think, I mean, obviously, if he's only 17 now, he's 16 in game. So, like, the attributes reflect that. But like, if he's only enjoying his breakout now, maybe he hasn't really even been properly spotted by kind of researchers in that area, but he doesn't look too bad in game. Like at 16, he's got 13 pace and acceleration, 17 determination, and then his finishing, kind of technique touch is all pretty good. 6'1", yeah, I think there's a bit of a player there.
Could be like a young Drogba.
Determination 17 is always a big one, right?
Ooh, I like that. I like that a lot. Even after ball 14, it's good.
Yeah, he's got good PA. I don't think his determination's set in the database, so you may get one that's a little bit
variable.
With a lower determination, but he looks a good player. I think there's a lot of players of this sort of mold on the game. Like, I can't remember if it was you or someone in my chat. Mad mentioned Van Persie's son as well.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like a little bit similar to this, where quite raw still, but very young. And you can almost tell he'll be a very good striker in there. But you look at his attributes, good height for a forward, you know, good header, good finisher. And obviously, they're going to get much better. So I think he is a very solid top level player. On this edition of the game.
The tweet that Mad's put in there as well, though, he looks devastated to be signing that contract.
Is it really he doesn't
have a big smile on his face at all. Poor fella. Poor George.
Someone's farted and I've got to sign this contract.
He's probably just heard the way I've pronounced his name, to be honest. He doesn't look impressed at all.
Just call me George.
That's easier.
He's valued at like 8.6 to 13 million. That's reasonably high, I suppose, for a player in Antwerp. But he's playing Champions League football. I also like that he's left footed. I don't know that. It was Drogba left footed, do you know?
He's both.
I'm dreaming that. He's both, yeah, okay.
But let's not forget also here, right? He's also scored against Bruges and Standard Liège. So he's not scoring against, you know, the pub teams. He's scoring against the top teams in Belgium there as well.
Are Antwerp still an affiliate of Manchester United?
I couldn't tell you, to be fair. I know we had Richie Delac go on loan to them. That was a long time ago.
That was about 20 years ago.
Hey, I told you I found out.
Chris Eagles as well.
Chris Eagles went, yeah.
Ronnie Walworth.
No, I don't think there's anyone recently that's gone. Maybe that's disappeared, but I'll get back to you on that one.
Thanks, mate.
Cheers, Jeff. Richie Delap, what a legend. Yeah, there you go.
Was he?
He was at Leicester, wasn't he?
Legend in his own household.
No, his brother was
better.
I don't
think the Leicester fans are calling him a legend either, to be fair.
You'll be pleased to know, and I'll be pleased to know, that does actually bring episode 327 to a close. So there's no quiz this week, as the runtime's quite long already. But I'm sure Dave will bring an epic one next week, right, Dave?
Yeah, mate, I'll get working.
Maybe. Yes. You can find the links for each of us in the podcast description or by visiting 5starpotential.com, where you'll find our latest FM24 content, including Lewis's Bent's FM24 Tactical Notebook, the 5-Star Potential Talent Factory, this very podcast in video form. 5-Star Potential is available on iTunes, Spotify, and most other popular podcast apps and platforms, with a new podcast released every single week and hopefully a new host. Thank you all for listening. There'll be more from us next week. Say goodbye, gentlemen.
Adios.
Goodbye, gentlemen.
Adios, amigos.
Bye.